idea came from this book, The Rag Man, and so I want to give credit to that. In his essay entitled Body of Christ, You Are a Woman, Walter Wangerin wrote that a woman suffers twice. That is, she sacrifices two times, and then she sacrifices two times again. I remember hearing a message by a great Indian Christian statesman called P.T. Chandapilla, in which he said that he thought women knew more about suffering than men because they go through childbirth. This is Mother's Day. Think about it. Becoming a mother, the first sacrifice is making room in her body for a new life. Initially, it makes her very nauseous, very often, as her hormones are waking up the reproductive process. And in coming months, as the baby grows within her, internal organs must adjust to the new presence. Gently pushed aside, they rebel. And she becomes increasingly uncomfortable in a whole variety of ways. Her back aches, her feet swell. She suffers sharp pains as a baby kicks with a foot or punches with a fist. Near the end of her pregnancy, she finds it difficult to sleep, difficult to walk, difficult to do just about anything in her unbalanced way. And she prays that the birth will come soon. And then comes the second sacrifice, the emptying of the womb in childbirth. It is through painful, laborious suffering that the woman pushes the baby out into the world, a new life begun, sacrificing twice. But then the cycle is repeated. Just as the mother made room in her body for the baby, she now makes room in her life for the child. In 10,000 ways, she pushes aside her own agenda in order to nurture her child. If he is sick, she doesn't sleep. If he needs help with her homework, if he needs help with his homework, she sets aside whatever activity she's doing to help him. She gives up much-needed kitchen renovations to give him music lessons. She races through rush hour traffic to make it to his ball game. If he's hungry, she gives up her own food. I remember talking to an elderly woman in the inner city of West Philadelphia who was telling me about her life as a single mom raising three children. She worked in a sewing factory sewing quilts. She made 10 cents per quilt. And she told me how many, many times in the evening she pretended not to be hungry because there wasn't enough food. And then when the children left the table and went elsewhere in the house, as she was cleaning up the kitchen, she ate the scraps off their plates, and that was her dinner. If he's hungry, she goes without her own food. She makes his needs a priority always. She endures toddler messes, childhood tantrums, teenage angst. She sets aside her own plans, maybe even her own career, to be available to him. And this goes on, not for 9 months, but for years, maybe even for the rest of her life. Does one ever cease being a mother? I am a mother of four adult children. No, at least in one's heart, one never ceases to be a mother, which makes the final sacrifice so painful. The day comes when the child is mature, at least in the eyes of the law, and she must let him go from her home. The empty nest day has come. Now her adult child must make his own way in the world. How hard it is to relinquish her role in his life, to become an obsolete mother. But she must let her child go out from her in order for him to answer God's call upon his life. It's healthy, it's right, but it is sharply painful. Sacrificing twice. The Apostle Paul referred to this whole motherhood pattern when he wrote to the church at Galatia, "My dear children, for whom I am again, sacrificing more than once, again, My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I labor, he's saying, for your spiritual birth and growth in likeness to Christ, just as a woman labors in childbirth. Hope Community Church, you are a woman. Now I know that no one here at Hope Community Church particularly wants to be compared to the Apostle Paul. And you probably only rarely think of what you do here as sacrifice. And indeed, there's much joy along the way, just as there is for the mother. The nauseous, awkward, new mother-to-be is nevertheless thrilled with the first flutterings of life within her. Later, seeing the ultrasound, hearing the heartbeat, feeling the stronger movements of the baby, all these delight her with love and anticipation. John 16:21 refers even to the pain of childbirth, and he says, the woman forgets all about the pain of childbirth very quickly for the joy that a new life has been born. All the sacrifices she makes in those years of child rearing cannot compare to the joy of mothering. Even the empty nest is not without joy. Seeing her child's accomplishments, delighting in becoming his friend rather than his authority, the promise of grandchildren, the satisfaction of seeing him love and follow the Lord, all these make it all worthwhile. I've sometimes thought that there's no material possession you could think of that would be worth what it costs to rear a child. Think of a priceless material possession. Now, for me, it would be a concert grand piano. You know, one of the really, really long ones. I don't know what it would be for you, a Rolls Royce or some other kind of car, or it might be a vacation home right on the beach at the shore. It might be a priceless jewel. I don't know what it would be for you, but think about it. You can't think of anything that you would pay for what you pay to raise a child. It wouldn't be worth it. Nothing else would be worth it. The Department of Agriculture publishes that for a middle-class family, it costs $204,060 to raise a child from birth to 17 years old. So that doesn't even include college, okay? $204,000. But as we've already seen, money is the most insignificant cost. And yet, children are worth it, aren't they? They are worth it. You'd do it many times over for the sake of your child, wouldn't you? As would I. A good testimony to the uniqueness of human life. Yes, there's much joy and satisfaction, and yet the sacrifice is undeniable. Hope Community Church, you, as the Apostle Paul, are a woman. For 30 years, you have made room in your local body of Christ for unborn children of God. It's called evangelism, and it's costly. Your annual VBS that we heard so much about this morning, your support of the local Young Life ministry, the Learning Center, the youth ministry, one-on-one personal evangelism that you engage in, the support of gospel witnessing and church planning around the world, we call it missions, all of these and more have been at times uncomfortable, demanding, labor-intensive, never easy. How many times have you gone through the pains of childbirth, bringing into the kingdom of God a baby Christian? I remember the rejoicing we experienced at the baptisms that take place every year as part of your annual church picnic. And yet behind those tears of joy were some tears of labor. I'm reminded of the psalm that says in a different metaphor, those who go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. But it seems to me harder even than childbirth are the numerous sacrifices of nurturing the body of Christ to maturity. Paul says, until Christ be formed in you. You have made room in your lives for each other, for all of us. Room in your schedule, Someone has rightly said that love is spelled T-I-M-E. You have made room in your schedule, room in your prayers, room in your small groups, room in your fellowship, room in your hearts. Room that is measured not in hours, but in years. 18 years ago, you made room in your church life for a very broken, middle-aged woman, me, who wept through every service for the first several weeks. Recently divorced, I was a total mess. I came here knowing nothing about this church. I came only because my brother Paul was here, and I just had to be with family. But soon my brother's church became my church. I found in you love, support, grace, and encouragement. Even more important, the bedrock, solid, foundational truth of God's word found in your worship music and in your teaching was foundational to my healing. I told someone recently who knew nothing about this church and was asking me why I was coming here, and I said, I went to that church broken and they put me back together. The leaders of this church are extraordinary. And I'm not just talking about elders. I use the word leaders on purpose. The elders are extraordinary. But I want to include other leaders, the Learning Center teachers, the worship leaders, the youth ministry leaders. There's so many more. So many leaders. They are extraordinary when it comes to sacrificial love and caring for the body of Christ. Offering counseling hours too numerous to count, enduring criticism, fair and unfair, engaging in faithful intercession, studying, serving the body of Christ, the brothers and sisters, in so many ways. I've seen you serve from construction to food service and on and on and on it goes. I couldn't even name all the ways. These have characterized the hours of your leaders who were already very busy with their own families and careers. And of course, there's been a lot of happiness in it. Your large inventory of snapshots testify to the joy. Retreats, parties, and other numerous celebrations are fondly remembered. Now, my brother Paul, whom you know, with a wry smile, used to refer to Family Bible Church as low, low, low church, as opposed to, you know, formal Episcopal or Anglican or Catholic. Now, that was a compliment because he loved the informality of Hope Community Church. I remember the Sunday morning when, right in the middle of the worship service, those doors were opened and a gift and cake-laden table was carried out, and we had a baby shower right in the middle of the morning worship service. Nurturing the body of Christ. Then we come to the last sacrifice, the empty nest. Hope Community Church has given and given and given again. The people who will come back and speak to you testify to that. You, in humility and unselfishness, have freed your members, even encouraged them to pursue God's purposes for them, to use their gifts in the larger kingdom of God. You've said farewell to so many who felt the call of God upon their lives, and after being trained at Hope Community Church, left to serve Him all over the world. Believers in South America, Africa, India, China, Southeast Asia, Turkey, as well as throughout the United States, believers you have never met have been birthed and nurtured as you gave your members to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. Not only did you give them leave, but you supported them faithfully, financially, in prayer and communication and encouragement. Long after they left, you continued to support and encourage what God was doing through them. I have been one of the blessed ones to be sent forth from Hope Community Church. I remember the night I went to the elders to tell them that in preparation for going to India, I really felt I should start attending the St. Thomas Evangelical Church of India in Philadelphia. There was no hesitation. The response was, "That's where you belong." And it wasn't to dismiss me. It was to support me to do what God was calling me to do. And for 8 years in India, I enjoyed the support of this church. My presence today testifies to the continued connection I have to this church. I am your progeny, not birthed by you, but adopted. Thank you so much. You have been instruments in the Redeemer's hands. I speak for all those who've enjoyed the fellowship of Hope Community Church for a time. We thank the Redeemer for his grace in you. What enables you, I know, what enables you to let go is the deep bedrock confidence in the sovereign Lord, the Redeemer. It is your bottom line faith that it is God, after all, who began a good work in us, and he will complete it. We are not your creation any more than a baby is the creation of its mother. Psalm 139, we heard this morning, says that we are knit together in our mother's womb. Likewise, spiritually, we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus. Ephesians, by grace we are saved through faith, and even that faith is a gift of God. No one can boast. Philippians says, it is God who works in us, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The Lord put us here at Hope for a time. You know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's all grace. He is the mighty Redeemer. He has made you his instruments. He's given you the ability and the heart to labor for all of us. And he's given you joy in it. Please know that you are loved so very much. I pray that Hope Community Church will continue to be a woman. May you have 30 more years, 60 more years. Maybe someday you'll be as old as my church in Tennessee. I want to end this meditation by leaving you with a strong encouragement. Don't turn to it, because I'm going to tell you what it says. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Begins with the word therefore, and we know that therefore means you have to look before. Therefore means on this basis. What basis? Well, 1 Corinthians 15 is that wonderful chapter on the resurrection, Christ's resurrection and ours. And it ends with this wonderful, I guess it's like a doxology. It's just marvelous, awesome hope. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O grave, where is your sting? Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, on that basis, on the basis of the hope of the resurrection, on the basis of our final victory, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know, not hope or wish or imagine, you know, that's a fact, it's a truth, that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Brothers, whom I love at Hope, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I know there are days when it seems in vain. I know there are losses, there are hardships, there are setbacks, there are disappointments. I know there are times when, but you know. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The word of God does not return void. It will accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. That is a fact. What an incredible privilege to labor for him. What a privilege to be a woman. God bless you.